There's a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious that you can't take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Good point.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's one reason.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yep.
Yes, I'm stuck in the middle.
From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is the Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA, 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 FM in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake, up in Oregon on KYAQ on the Central Coast, Queso in Cottage Grove, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania on WLRI, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, Columbus, Ohio's WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Grand Rapids, Michigan's WPRR, New Orleans, WHIV, Gallup, New Mexico's KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, in Fayetteville, Arkansas on KPSQ, Seattle, Washington's KODX, Red Bluff and Redding, California's KFOI, Round Mountain, California's KKRN, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950, KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day. For your listening convenience, on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Indie Media Weekly, FYI Nation, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, GDPR, Revolution 99, Workforce Rising, and Detour Talk. Blanketing Planet Earth 5 days a week. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us today, and my thanks to our friend Angie Coiro of In Deep Radio for filling in for us on Friday's Bradcast. So Desi Doyen and I could, Desi Doyen and me? I think it's So Desi Doyen and I could get a breather to catch up on a few things. We will be back with you, I think, every day this week, as far as I know. But Angie's show on Friday, by the way, was great. If you missed it, you can download it for free, as always, at bradblog.com. Though we thank you mightily, those of you who have stopped by bradblog.com/donate to help keep us on your public airwaves every day. We wouldn't be here without your help. So check out her show. She had four guests in a single show. So, I can barely fit in one guest many days. In any event, friendly reminder, on Tuesday, voters are heading to the polls, or they certainly should be, for the 2018 midterm primary elections in New York, in Maryland, in Utah, Colorado, and Oklahoma. And to pick nominees in primary runoff elections in Mississippi and in South Carolina. So if you live in any one of those states, what are you waiting for? Get to the polls and find out now if you are properly registered to vote as you think you are. Find out now during the primaries before you run into any surprises this November. Speaking of surprises and elections, the stolen U.S. Supreme Court on Monday, in another 5-4 opinion, rejected a challenge to racial gerrymandering, Republican racial gerrymandering of Texas's congressional districts, and said that it is declining. The court said it is declining for now to wade into a dispute over a North Carolina redistricting scheme that a lower court had found violated the Constitution by overly favoring Republicans, to say the least. In North Carolina, that was a partisan gerrymander that the state Republican Party admitted was a partisan gerrymander. It resulted in 10 GOP seats to just 3 Democratic seats in the U.S. House from North Carolina. despite the fact that North Carolina is a swing state. Obama won there narrowly in 2008. Romney narrowly won in 2012. Trump narrowly won in 2016. But they also now have a Democratic governor for statewide office and a Democratic attorney general. So it's a swing state that Republicans figured out how to game to their advantage and to your disadvantage, particularly if you're a Democratic voter in North Carolina. But frankly, if you're a Democratic supporter anywhere across the country, I'm, you know, taking this swing 50-50 state and turning it into 10-3 in the U.S. House in favor of Republicans. Well, that's what they do. And the U.S. Supreme Court for now says they can continue to do that. A federal appeals court had ordered the entire U.S. House map in North Carolina to be redrawn after State Rep. David Lewis, a Republican member of the North Carolina General Assembly, who he drew the map. He admitted to doing so in order to give Republicans an electoral advantage that defied the actual electorate. He actually said out loud, quote, "I think electing Republicans is better than electing Democrats, so I drew this map to help foster what I think is better for the country," adding, "I propose that we draw the maps to give a partisan advantage to 10 Republicans and 3 Democrats because I do not believe it's possible to draw up a map with 11 Republicans and 2 Democrats." Yes, he said that out loud. And this stolen U.S. Supreme Court for now has essentially blocked the lower court ruling, which demanded completely new U.S. House seats drawn up for the for North Carolina in time for the 2018 election to overturn these grotesquely partisan maps. But now North Carolina doesn't have to. The North Carolina Republicans will once again enjoy nothing less than a stolen partisan advantage when voters try to vote to put the brakes on the Trump GOP national emergency this November. That comes on the heels of last week's ruling by the high court that both Wisconsin and Maryland, they too could continue to use partisan gerrymandered districts for yet another election. At least for now, which the lower federal courts had found both in that case to be in violation of both the Constitution and the Voting Rights Act. To me, by the way, that all of this news is not an excuse to not vote, to throw up your hands and stay home this year. It's an argument to make sure as hell to vote this year, now more than ever, and to fight like hell for those votes to be counted, counted accurately as per every voter's intent. Because I got to tell you, if everyone who stayed home in 2016 actually turned out this year, this long national nightmare that we're going to talk about today would be over, at least much more quickly, perhaps even resulting in Donald Trump being frog marched out of the White House for good. Anyway, we'll be talking more about those Supreme Court rulings and others as the week goes on. Desi Doyen, we talked a little bit on Thursday's broadcast about the irony of Melania Trump being unable to visit one of the child detention centers in Texas.
Yes.
Thanks to another huge bout of extreme weather in Texas.
An extreme rainfall event that caused flooding in and around where the shelter was located because it was in Brownsville, which got hit with this massive storm.
So now more irony along those lines today, perhaps a double irony, I guess, in a story that I suspect we'll almost certainly be covering in tomorrow's Green News Report. This is in Iowa over the weekend with more extreme rainfall up there. All of which, Desi will tell you, is long predicted by climate scientists due to warming in the atmosphere, thanks to our continuing use of dangerous fossil fuels. So up in Iowa, the rain itself, it's sort of like Mother Nature fighting back. Maybe, is that
punching
a nice way
back,
to look? Punching
maybe?
Back,
yeah. You could put it that way.
This led to the rain up in Iowa, extreme rain, extreme flooding, led to the derailment of an oil train. And yes, another massive oil spill with it. According to AP, an estimated 230,000 gallons of crude oil spilled into floodwaters in the northwestern corner of Iowa over the weekend following a train derailment. The train company BNSF, their spokesperson Andy Williams said that 14 of the 32 oil tankers in this train leaked oil into surrounding floodwaters from the swollen Little Rock River. All of those tankers, by the way, derailed, so there could be even many more of them still leaking, as far as we know. And as always, I always warn, be wary of the numbers here early on. 230,000 gallons is a lot to spill into your drinking water, but these spills almost always end up being far larger than officials offer in the immediate aftermath. The spokesperson Williams said that skimmers and vacuum trucks were being used to remove the oil. Officials still had not determined the cause of the derailment on Friday, but a disaster proclamation issued by Republican Governor Kim Reynolds blames the rain-fueled flooding on this derailment. And if you look at the photographs, the tracks are almost completely submerged in floodwaters. Some officials have speculated that those floodwaters may have eroded soil beneath the train track. Well, the nearby Little Rock River rose rapidly after some heavy rains late last week. The train itself was carrying tar sands oil from Alberta, Canada, down to Oklahoma to be refined and then probably shipped out overseas. The derailment also caused concern downstream from the actual derailment and spill site as far south as Omaha, Nebraska, about 150 miles from the derailment site. The spill reached the Rock River, which joins the Big Sioux River, before merging into the Missouri River at Sioux City. Omaha's water utility said it was monitoring pumps that it uses to pull drinking water from the Missouri River. Yes, we now have tar sands oil spilled into our drinking water. Rock Valley, Iowa, just southwest of the derailment, shut off its water wells within hours after the accident. It will drain and clean its wells and use a rural water system until testing shows that its water is safe.
Yeah, and so that's another thing to consider about these oil trains and oil pipelines. Because remember, back in 2010, the Kalamazoo River oil spill. That was a pipeline of tar sands oil from Canada that spilled into the Kalamazoo River. It was more than $1 billion in cleanup, and even though it's 8 years later, those tar sands are still not cleaned up from the Kalamazoo River pipeline spill. So oil trains and pipelines, they both spill. The problem is the oil, the tar sands oil, and the transportation of oil. And then the second thing about this, it's not just the cost of the cleanup. It's the cost to the municipal water systems. It's the cost to everyone who has a water intake system, a municipal water system on those rivers. They all have to shut down. They all have to do cleanup. They all have to incur economic costs from these oil spills.
And the tar sands, we talk about tar sands crude as if it's, you know, just any other oil spill. Tar sands specifically is really hard to clean up.
It's like peanut butter. Toxic peanut
tar. Butter.
Yeah, tar.
It's like tar.
And, you know, this is only going to get worse. Yep. There's a new report that came out of the National Centers for Atmospheric Research. We're going to be talking more about it tomorrow in the Green News Report. That essentially confirms previous findings that these extreme rainfall events are increasing in the United States and already have since the 1950s. In the Northeast, 71% increase in extreme rainfall events since the 1950s alone. So we're going to see more of this, and our infrastructure is not ready.
No, it is not. Neither is the country. And we're going to try to open up the lines in a little bit if I have time here. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. To talk about the folks who you heard Mario Savio at the top of the show there talking about, there comes a time when we need to throw our bodies on the gears, on the machinery to stop what is going on. I want to talk about what has been going on over the weekend as we saw still more protests against Trump administration officials for their behavior. Restaurants who refuse to serve the press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Our phone number is 818-985-KPFK, 818-985-5735. And as usual, we've got many folks in the corporate media, those very, very smart people, as our friend David Roberts likes to call them, at the Washington Post and the New York Times, just wringing their hands. Oh, the incivility. What is going on? These Democrats must stop losing their cool. I'm not so sure that's the case, so I would like your thoughts on that. We'll get to that in a little bit. But first, in case you're wondering why Democrats, progressives, protesters, hopefully of any political stripe, are out there protesting. President Donald Trump on Sunday proposed violating U.S. and international law by deporting, quote, people who invade our country, referring to undocumented immigrants and asylum seekers, without affording them their due process rights, said Trump in this tweet. We cannot allow all these people to invade our country. When somebody comes in, we must immediately, with no judges nor court cases, bring them back from where they came. Our system is a mockery to good immigration policy and law and order. Jeremy McKinney, an immigration attorney and secretary of the American Immigration Lawyers Association, responded to Trump's tweet saying, quote, "The right to due process of law is enshrined in the Constitution and extends to every person," that's person, not citizen, but every person in the United States, irrespective of immigration status. So for those on the right who claim that they believe in the U.S. Constitution, that they want to protect the Constitution, it's you folks on the right who ought to be hopping mad about what Donald Trump had to say over the weekend regarding doing away with due process. Catherine Lawson, attorney, says apparently it needs to be said. Due process is about limiting government abuse because government power can't be trusted. The whole point of due process is that without it, there's no telling who is going to end up on the wrong side of the government. Jerry McKinney goes on to note that the Supreme Court for well over a century has expressly recognized a person cannot be deported without due process. It at its core, he says, due process means notice and full and fair opportunity to be heard. He added that we, as attorneys and media, he says, I hate that we as attorneys and media have to spend any time on this stupidity. So do I, Mr. McKinney. I hate it. But apparently we do have to spend that time, and sadly we have to spend time making the case, even to some progressives, it seems, who still make the incredibly lazy assertion that both sides are just as bad, as I ranted about a bit last week, that you now have a president of the United States calling for doing away with due process, a bedrock constitutional value in this country. Doing away with all due process, all judges, all courts, all trials concerning immigration. So, you know, how long are your folks on the right gonna, you know, defend this president while claiming to support the Constitution? And how long are some of you folks on the left gonna continue to pretend that, oh, both sides are the same, both sides are just as bad? As I said, I had a bit of a rant on that point on at least one of our shows last week after someone here at the station tried to tell me, well, Obama separated children from parents, too. No, he didn't. Not like this. Not as a specific policy in order to do so, in order to be a deterrent. Never. So that's just flat out lazy and wrong. To push that nonsense, as someone here at my own station tried to do after I got off the air last week, one of those days. As a matter of fact, after the rant on, one of those shows, I think it was last Tuesday's show, you can download it at bradblog.com, a commenter who goes by the name of Bob post a comment to bradblog.com arguing, quote, both sides are not worth voting for. They make reform impossible and revolution inevitable. I responded in part there to say, well, if you'd like to continue Trump's version of reform, you make a great case for staying home and not voting for anyone, because that's who will be helped if you decide to stay home this year. Bob said in response, I'd like to see an alternative to voting for Tweedledum and Tweedledee. I suspect that is what the non-voting electorate wants. In the meantime, he says, let it burn. Well, Bob, I'm happy to hear that you have the privilege and standing of not suffering under the horrific and painful policies of this presidency. Good for you. Many of us, I would argue the vast majority of us in this country, your fellow countrymen, do not enjoy that privilege. So you'll pardon if we keep on fighting to hold off the worst of Donald Trump and the GOP's dangerous excesses here to try and limit the pain for a number of generations that we will all be suffering under this unprecedented reversal of our values as a nation, of our laws, as you folks wait for it, folks like Bob in any event, wait for a pretend white knight to arrive. We'll keep up the fight while you're sitting this one out. You're welcome. Best of luck to you. Unfortunately, many of us don't have the privilege that you apparently do, Bob. We can't afford to lose our health care or stomach seeing children ripped away from their parents and tossed into cages for months at a time. Or see our very own constitutional protections, whether it comes to voting or, frankly, everything else that we now hold dear, being ripped away from us for these short-term partisan gains and long-term devastation of this nation. But, of course, the propaganda and the disinformation to support that sort of thing, that's coming not only from Donald Trump, but from his entire administration and virtually the entire Republican Party, who is now incredibly supporting Trump and his policies during this wildly dangerous moment in American history, this ongoing national emergency. The ACLU responded to Trump's tweet over the weekend to say, what President Trump suggested here about doing away with due process is both illegal and unconstitutional. Any official who has sworn an oath to uphold the Constitution and laws should disavow it unequivocally. Congressman Ruben Gallego, Democrat of Arizona, wrote in response to Trump's tweet, first immigrants don't get due process, then it will be criminals, then it will be the poor, then it will be anyone that disagrees with Donald Trump. U.S. and international law, it must be noted, prohibit the U.S. from turning away or otherwise penalizing asylum seekers, the former of which many advocates allege is evident in the now frequent line to asylum seekers at ports of entry that are supposedly at capacity. You heard Kirstjen Nielsen, the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, last week saying, we're not separating children from their parents if they're seeking asylum. They just have to seek asylum at ports of entry, not in between ports of entry. Well, she was lying about that, you'll be shocked to know. But that said, when it comes to those actual ports of entry, and people trying to cross and turn themselves over to the U.S. government and ask for asylum, they're being told they can't come in. TPM reports that a border official protested to one advocate who had accompanied an asylum seeker to a port of entry. This was actually Texas Monthly who reported this. The border official said, quote, we are not absolutely saying that they cannot make an asylum claim. We are just saying that we cannot process them at this time. The same report described border agents standing directly on the U.S.-Mexico borderline so as to prevent asylum seekers from completing that last step of stepping onto American soil before declaring asylum. All of which, this panic, this nonsense, these protests, All of which is predicated by Trump's phony crisis that he created at the border and that he is pretending and describing on Twitter and in rallies as an invasion, or worse, an infestation at the southern border, where there is no such crisis. Of course, that's just another part of his continuing series of racist lies to turn the nation and even the world against immigrants who are just seeking a better life as they flee poverty, as they flee violence, yes, as they flee likely death in their own home countries. As PolitiFact observed last week, Donald Trump regularly tells Americans that people seeking to enter the U.S. without permission bring crime and violence with them. In a tweet last week, Trump said Germany faces the very same risk. He tweeted, quote, "The people of Germany are turning against the leadership as their leadership as migration is rocking the already tenuous Berlin coalition. Crime in Germany is way up. Big mistake made all over Europe in allowing millions of people in who have so strongly and violently changed their culture." PolitiFact says they looked at whether crime in Germany is on the rise. They contacted the White House press office for details. They did not hear back. But from the available information out there, according to the latest government numbers that came out in May, crime in the European Union's largest economy, Germany, is down by almost 10% from 2016 to 2017. It's also down compared to 2012. In a press release in May, German Minister for Interior, Development and Community, Horst Seehofer, crowed about those latest figures. He said the number of criminal offenses committed in Germany is the lowest since 1992. This drop in crime is even more apparent in relation to the total population. He said it's the lowest rate in more than 30 years. These numbers back up what experts have said before, that rising number of immigrants does not translate into a broader increase in crime. In fact, they note that while Trump said that crime in Germany is way up, the opposite is actually true. Crime is down almost 10% since just last year. I know you'll be shocked to hear that the president of the United States is similarly lying about immigration facts in our own country, calling on Democrats to act on immigration. Despite the fact that Republicans control both houses of Congress and the White House, Trump tweeted over the weekend, quote, "Democrats, fix the law. Don't resist. We are doing a far better job than Bush and Obama, but we need strength and security at the border," he said. "Cannot accept all the people trying to break into our country. Strong borders, no crime," said Trump. What crime? I hate to continue serving as a fact checker here on this show, but apparently, given the brain-addled Americans who actually believe so much of Trump's nonsense or want to believe it, even though they know it's not true, I guess we have to continue to correct his BS here on the show, whether I like it or not. Immigrants are far less likely to commit crimes in this country than those who are born here. And no, our borders are not being swarmed or invaded or infested, as Trump has been pretending, as Trump has been hoping to convince his gullible followers in advance of this November's election. That's a fact. Even in the Texas border cities that have received so much attention over the past week, even according to the elected officials and people who live in those towns. The mayor of Brownsville, Texas, the border city, where we see one of the largest child detention centers down there. The mayor of Brownsville has, in fact, been dealing with a crisis in recent days, the New York Times reported over the weekend. This week, he declared a state of emergency. Drones filled the skies and emergency vehicles raced down the streets, but none of it had to do anything with illegal immigration. It had to do with, yes, the weather, the climate. A severe thunderstorm caused widespread flooding throughout the Rio Grande Valley in recent days. But the other crisis, the one that President Trump says has been unfolding on the border because of illegal immigration, that is largely a fiction. According to the mayor of Brownsville, Tony Martinez, and according to other residents and leaders in the town, says the Times. Martinez, who has lived in Brownsville since the late 70s, told the Times, quote, "There is not a crisis in the city of Brownsville with regards to safety and security. There's no gunfire. Most of the people that are migrating are from Central America. It's not like they're coming over here to try to take anybody's job," he said. "They're trying to just save their own lives. We're doing fine, quite frankly," he said. Martinez is a Democrat and in a very right-wing state of Texas, or what used to be a right-wing state of Texas. Trump has raised alarms about the huge number of migrants flowing into Texas. But the evidence included from our own federal data and on the ground in places like Brownsville shows that the immigration crisis that Trump has cited over the past week to justify the separation of families is actually no crisis at all. And they go through some of the numbers. They go through comments from the people in the town of Brownsville and say, yeah, we're not seeing a problem here at all. The Brownsville police chief, Orlando Rodriguez, told the Times there is this misconception that we're in this lawless land and it's this wild, wild frontier. It is not. We actually see a downward trend in crime in Brownsville over the past few years. The numbers are just getting better and better every year. To say that illegals are running around in Brownsville causing problems, we just don't see it, said the chief of police in this border town. Similar reports from Nogales, Arizona, which borders and shares the same name as a Mexican city. The numbers of violent crimes have plummeted by more than 70% from 1997 through 2016. Similar trends can be found in a bunch of other border cities. The overall crime rate in Arizona has also dropped by more than a third from 1993 to 2016, Congressman Philemon Vila of Brownsville, Texas, who represents Brownsville, said everybody was, and I think probably to a large extent still is, going about their way in Brownsville. If you were in the city of Brownsville and you wanted to witness anything related to this whole story of this crisis on the border, he said you'd have to break into one of the Southwest Key facilities to even know that there's anything going on. He said, referring to the nonprofit that runs a migrant children's shelter at a former abandoned Walmart down there in Brownsville. So, yes, I know. Yes, I know it's tiring. It's tiring for me every damn day having to respond to the misinformation that's out there. But boy, I'll tell you what, after this weekend, after the folks on the right were just furious that a restaurant had turned away Sarah Huckabee Sanders, asked her politely to leave and paid for her appetizers as a parting gift. They were just furious that anyone would do that. The very same people who I was in it with all weekend long on Twitter, the very same people, the very same right-wingers who are supporting the fact that the Republican Party went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court to support a baker in Colorado who didn't want to sell a cake to a couple of customers for their same-sex marriage. They were fine with that, but asked Sarah Huckabee Sanders to leave. Oh, they are furious. Has all of this gone too far? Does all of this need to go further? We'll take a quick break and we will come back with more on all of this and your phone calls at 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. I'm Brad Friedman. This is your Bradcast. What a bunch of people are now saying. Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. I was reminded over the weekend of Mario Savio's famous speech during a free speech protest at UC Berkeley in December of 1964. This speech was widely credited with helping to kick off the free speech movement. Not just in Berkeley, not just in California, but across the country. In case you're not familiar with the speech, here's the key clip from it.
There's a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
So that was Mario Savio from 1964. Have we once again, or maybe even still, are we at that point now? This all occurred to me, of course, over the weekend, yet again, after a series of protests against those in the machine, the people who run it, the people who own it, as Savio said, and support it, who support this Trump administration, who are carrying out these brutal immigration policies, who are working to undermine virtually every American and constitutional value that we hold dear, from immigration to elections, to, you know, being able to do something about this, being able to vote these people out and replace them with others, to gutting our social safety net, our environmental protections, and so much more. Have we now reached the point where it's time to put our bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon all the apparatus to make it stop? Has it gotten so bad that we can't even passively take part anymore? Apparently, more and more Americans do seem to be feeling that way with each and every passing day. I want to get your calls on this. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Officials in the Trump administration had a rough weekend, according to Axios, starting with Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She was refused service at a Virginia restaurant. That came after Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen was heckled last week at a Mexican restaurant in Washington, D.C. Pam Bondi, the Florida Attorney General, who has been a huge Trump supporter throughout his tenure as president and even beforehand, she was confronted by hecklers at a movie screening, movie theater. She supposedly had to be escorted out by law enforcement. Senior White House advisor Stephen Miller, said to be behind much of Trump's anti-immigrant nonsense. He was heckled also at a Mexican restaurant in Washington, according to the New York Post. A patron said, "Hey, look, guys, whoever thought we'd be in a restaurant with a real-life fascist begging for money for new cages?" Of course, the Washington Post editorial board was quick to jump in to decry the incivility from these protesters, chastising them for what they see as not a, quote, healthy development in our public discourse. The protesters who interrupted the meals and the movies of those in the Trump administration, quote, "will get no argument from us that regarding Mr. Trump's border policies when it comes to coarsening the debate, he is the prime offender. We nonetheless would argue that Ms. Huckabee, Ms. Nielsen, Mr. Miller, too, should be allowed to eat dinner in peace. Those who are insisting that we are in a special moment justifying incivility should think for a moment how many Americans might find their own special moment. How hard is it to imagine," they write, "for example, people who strongly believe that abortion is murder, deciding that judges or other officials who protect abortion rights should not be able to live peaceably with their families." Down the road, the Washington Post editorial board says, "lies a world in which only the most zealous sign up for public service. That benefits no one." I've got a few more thoughts on that, but it looks like so do you. So let me get to some of your calls. 818-985-5735. Bill in Los Angeles. Hey, Bill, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hello, how are you doing?
Hanging in.
This Trump administration is a... definitely a white supremacist administration, and it's definitely time for class and social struggle to be unleashed. The problem is that the current leadership of the working class is firmly supporting the Democratic Party, and that, my friend, has been the reason why we have not had class and social struggle being unleashed because the Democratic Party is the party of law and order. The Republican Party is obviously the party of racist reaction. But that is like a 1-2 punch. I mean, what you're trying to sell us is the party that interned the Japanese, the party of Vietnam and Hiroshima and Nagasaki. You're trying to sell us imperialism and racism light. The Republicans cannot.
Who's trying to sell you that?
That would be you, my broadcaster. what's necessary is for class and social struggle to be unleashed, organizing of the unorganized, organizing of undocumented workers. And so, in the very real world, the Democratic Party is able to get more concessions out of the workers because it pacifies, it kisses more babies and puts the babies down with a slobbered on face in the same racist world. But you're talking about core values. The core values of this country are rape, pillage, and plunder.
Yeah. Well, Bill, I would like to change the bill. I would like to, let me respond to you, Bill. I know you got a lot of stuff there, but I would like to change what you describe as those core values. I'd like to fight to change them rather than making them worse. And we are making them worse at an alarming rate, at a dangerous rate, when you have the President of the United States actually talking about doing away with the core value of due process. You have a Supreme Court which has been stolen by the Republicans because the Democrats failed to win somehow the election in 2016.
Did the Black Panther Party get due process? Did Native Americans get due process? Did slaves get due process?
No.
You're talking about a fable. You have a fable. You're preaching. Preaching patriotism and bull to the people of KPF.
All right. Sorry, I wouldn't have cut him off. Except for what he said, which will get us in trouble with the FCC. So hopefully we got that turned off in time. Sorry, Bill. I would have loved to continue going on with your point there. But no, you can't say that stuff on the radio. Anyway, 818-985-5735 is our phone number. Congresswoman Maxine Waters, yes, a Democrat from California. She actively encouraged citizens to confront Trump's cabinet members and staff in public during a rally here in Los Angeles. I'll play a bit of what Maxine D. You got that ready? A bit of what Maxine Waters had to say.
History is not going to be kind to this administration, but we want history to record that we stood up, that we pushed back, that we fought, that we did not consider ourselves victims of this president. Already, you have members of your cabinet that are being booed out of restaurants. Yeah. Who have protesters taking up at their house. Yeah. Who sang no peace, no sleep. Yeah. No peace, no sleep. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, yeah, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd.
They're not welcome anymore, anywhere, said Maxine Waters. Carlos Gutierrez, a former Bush administration Secretary of Commerce, downplayed Sarah Huckabee Sanders' response to being politely asked to leave a restaurant in Virginia over the weekend. This is a former Bush administration official, said he's far more concerned about children seeing, quote, a different America where children are being separated from their families. On the other hand, David Axelrod, the former Obama administration official, said that he was, quote, kind of amazed and appalled by Democrats applauding Sanders being denied service and the heckling that Trump officials in the public are receiving. And David Axelrod, Obama's guy, said that that only gives the administration what it wants, a more divided America. But are these times different? are these times that we need to throw our bodies on the machine or throw our protest inside the Mexican restaurants? 818-985-5735 is our phone number. Let's go to Steve in L.A. Hey, Steve, welcome to the Bradcast.
Hi, Brad.
Hey.
Enjoy your show.
Thank you, sir.
I think, you know, people are afraid to go out in the streets and start protesting because Trump's working towards that so he can declare civil unrest and declare martial law and cement his fascist takeover of the United States or the oligarchs' fascist takeover of this country. I work for a lot of very wealthy people, and they live in a completely different world. I served in this country. I took an oath to protect this country from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I hope a lot of my veterans are willing to stand up for that. But I also was at the end of the draft, and what I saw of the all-volunteer army coming in were some of the most backwards people that I've ever seen in this country. So stupid. And the way the military trains us today, you can train them to do anything and follow any order. Mm. Okay, that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Steve, for those chilling thoughts, frankly. 818-985-5735. Let me get to one more here, and then we'll take a quick break and come back with more. Karen in San Francisco. Hey, Karen, welcome to the Bradcast.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, because usually when I try to call in, I get asked for a donation. I'd like to point out that the oil train spill up in Iowa occurred in Congressman Steve King's district.
Mm.
The irony of that.
Yeah, a huge anti-immigration zealot, yeah.
Right, he actually refused to meet Emma Gonzalez, one of the Parkland, Florida activists, who wanted to ask him face-to-face, well, why he criticized her status as a Cuban, considering Cubans have a different distinction of all these years in regards to immigrating into this country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rather lucky. Yeah, he's also the one who talked about children, migrants hauling tons of marijuana across the desert or some such nonsense. Mm-hmm. He's a climate change denier. So, yeah, the fact that it happened in his district might be more enjoyable were it not for all of the other people that will actually get poisoned by it as well. Thanks, Karen. I do appreciate that call. And by the way, we don't ask anyone for a donation when they call in. Karen must have called in during a fund drive when they do ask for a donation. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with more calls after this. 818-985-5735. I'm Brad Friedman. This is the Bradcast. Good question. Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Taking your calls on these protests against administration officials. The polite request that Sarah Huckabee Sanders please leave a restaurant by the restaurant's owner up in Virginia. The protest at a Mexican restaurant last week against the Secretary of the DHS, Kirstjen Nielsen. Is it time for this? Is it going to backfire against Democrats and progressives? Let's go to 818-985-5735 is our phone number. Suzanne in L.A. Hey, Suzanne, welcome to the Bradcast.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. What's up?
So I wanted to make a comment about what you were talking about earlier about the Trump administration and how, you know, immigrants are being deported back, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's difficult for, I'm 100% Mexican, mm-hmm. and, you know, I'm actually, it's really hard for me to talk about it, because as a Mexican, you know, everyone in my family is like, oh, you know, don't go for Trump and this and that. But, you know, my family came here legally to the United States, and they worked so hard. And my grandpa, you know, he...
Were you born, Suzanne, were you born in Mexico?
No, I was born in the United States. I am first generation.
Okay, so you say you're 100% Mexican. I wasn't sure if you were born there. So your parents came here. They came in illegally. They sought...
No. They came here. They came here legally.
That's what I said.
My grandpa.
Right.
My grandpa. You know. But anyways, my point is that, you know, I can't like 100% say to someone, you know, oh, you came here illegally. Let's just find some sort of way to make the people that are already here. Okay, because the way that I look at it is, if you have an empty house, you know, like you have a house that's up for sale,
mm-hmm.
and let's just call that the United States. If you have a house that's for sale, and someone comes in, you know, squatters, which they do, you know, come in and they just, and they're just there. But what about the person that worked so hard, you know, saved up their money, went through the escrow process, and is now given the keys to this house? But then you walk in and it's like there's already people living here.
Well, no, I would reject, Suzanne, let me reject your premise, and I don't want to cut you short except that we have a lot of people who want to get in. But I'm going to reject your premise first, because if nothing else, we are talking about tens of thousands of people who have in fact come here legally, who are in fact are seeking asylum, and who are being torn away, who are having their children torn away from them, who are now being told by the president of the United States they should have no day in court, they should have no due process whatsoever.
No, I think that we should keep that.
Yeah.
Because what happens is that every person is different. Like, I work
right.
in a school district.
Suzanne, you can't tell me, only because I got about 10 other people I want to try to get to, and I've got only a few minutes left. But I
Sure.
I do appreciate your thoughts on this. And where you're coming from. I think a lot of people are wrestling with that, and I do appreciate it. Let me go to Mike in L.A. Hey, Mike, welcome to the broadcast. What's on your mind, sir?
Hey, Brad, you're a fine fellow, says me too.
Thank you.
Tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, Los Angeles City Hall, there'll be a bunch of us getting together to protest the visit of Jefferson Beauregard Sessions. And my placard will have a background of the Beauregard flag, the Confederate battle flag, and the wording over it says, torture... Scripture, the law, and kids.
Mm.
It's an old tradition.
All right. Very good. Find out where he's eating and make sure he sees that sign when he does. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate your thoughts and turning out for protest. Marcy in L.A. Hey, Marcy, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi. Just really quickly, I want to say there's a difference between ostracized and rejected or shamed based on who you are, which you cannot help if you have brown skin,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to what you do. And what they're doing, the Trump administration is doing hate, and they're creating hate. And so to be shamed for what you do is appropriate.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Marcy. I appreciate that thought very much. These are some distinctions that some folks seem to have trouble understanding. You know, the very same people who were furious that the waitress politely asked Sarah Huckabee Sanders, not the waitress, the owner of the restaurant, who politely asked Sarah Huckabee Sanders to leave and, in fact, paid for her appetizers and so forth. You know, those people who were furious about that were the same ones supporting the bigoted baker who wouldn't sell a cake to a couple for their same-sex wedding reception. And, you know, I guess there are a lot of people having trouble figuring out those two distinctions. Let me try to make it easier. In one case, the right-wingers here are supporting a bigot who would not sell a cake. And in the other case, you have a restaurant owner who does not want to serve a bigot, or at least a woman who is working for a bigot in the president of the United States. All right, let me get to a couple more here very quickly, if I can. Let me go to Shannon in Huntington Beach. Hey, Shannon, welcome to the broadcast. Very quickly, what's on your mind?
Hey, Brad. Thanks. So, originally, I wanted to talk about the immigration policy and how, you know, each side is quick to call foul. The Republicans are quick to call foul, and the Democrats, you know, claiming, you know, with broad brush strokes that we're wanting open borders and no security for our country. And the Democrats are quick to call foul about absolutely everything they do, which I have to agree with as well. And they go about everything seemingly with just brazen and unabashedly illegal. and justify all of their actions in the name of some kind of, you know, base that I just can't wrap my head around. But at the same time, I have to give plausibility to the fact that we can't allow illegal things to go unpunished. There would be no deterrent otherwise.
Well, first off, once again, we have to remember, first, thousands of people have come here perfectly legally, stepping onto American soil and seeking asylum. They do not deserve to have their children ripped away from them. They do not deserve to have their right to due process ripped away from them as well.
100% agree.
And that's what we're talking about. Now, if you'd like to penalize people for coming here and working and actually improving our economy, improving our crime rates and everything else, if you'd like still like to punish them, well, I think sending them home is certainly punishment. What more do you want, Shannon? What more do you want to do?
Well, my point is not how well they can contribute to society or whether or not they would be productive or not. My point is, if you do something illegal, if we have laws on the books and you knowingly violate them, then at some point in time you have to pay the piper.
That's what we have been doing. That's what we have been doing in this country for years, Shannon. Those people are penalized. They are thrown in jail. They are sent home. Boy, I'd love to continue this conversation, but I have to.
But it seems like the conversation keeps moving to working to a path to allow the people who have done these illegal actions to just be forgiven for them without having to suffer anything.
No, actually, if you're talking about those folks, Shannon, and I don't mean to cut you short, but I do have to get out. I got to end the show here. If you're talking about those folks in this path to citizenship, you're talking about those are children who were brought here years ago by their parents through no fault of their own, who know no other country than this U.S. And yes, those people absolutely deserve a path to citizenship in this country. Sorry to cut you short. Sorry, I couldn't get to everyone else who had rang in here. We'll be back again tomorrow. Same Brad time, same Brad station, I hope. Until then, my thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, to my board op, D'Angelo Jones, and to you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's show, download it anytime for free at bradblog.com. Drop me email. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. On the Facebooks and the Twitters, I am The Brad Blog. Until we meet again, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.